Welcome to the broadcast ministry of His Vision Ministries with Pastor Shane Lawson. God's word is unlike any other word. It is alive. Jesus said, "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life." John 6:63. These messages are intended to bring life application, hope, and encouragement from the Word of God. The purpose of His Vision's multimedia ministry is to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world through the use of technology and media as an outreach tool. We pray you will be blessed by today's message. Now here is Pastor Shane.
You know, one of the hardest parts of Christmas is finding gifts that are unique to other people that other people don't have but could use, right? How many have ever faced that at Christmas time? I'm just kind of, you know, helping you out here a few months before. We all have people it's very hard to buy for because basically, guess what? They have all they need. And so my mom is one of those people, okay? But I have come across a gift that you could really buy for almost anybody. And I've never met anybody that has one of these. Maybe you do, but I've never met anyone, or they've never showed it to me. They call it a ticker watch. And this is a watch that not only predicts when you will die, it actually gives you a countdown to your final seconds. And Swedish inventor Frederick Coatland created the watch, what is now known as many as the death watch. And you fill out a questionnaire about your medical history, and then you subtract your age from the results, and they give you what's called a death score. And that is entered into the ticker, and the countdown begins. Suggestion, don't buy one of these for your 94-year-old grandmother for Christmas. The watch is designed to help people make the most of their life and cherish the time that they have on planet Earth. Of course, let me say this. Nobody really knows when or where they're going to die. Amen? But there is a thought about death that increasingly pops into your mind as you get older, and that is this question: how are you going to die? And as a pastor, you hear a lot of things. You'll hear people say, "Well, I don't know how I'm going to die. I just don't want to suffer." And that's one of the things that a lot of people will say. And that is why we are in this series that we've entitled Kingdom Agenda. Whether we have written them down or not, everybody has an agenda out there of things that they would like to see or that they would like to do or they would like to experience before they die. There's a difference between what we want to do before we die and what we better do before we die. And so there are seven things that every person needs to make sure that they do before they die if they want to live well and die well. And this is not my agenda. This is the agenda of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is not Easter, no, but the Lord has led me, the Holy Spirit of God has led me to share this. Seven things that Jesus said while He was dying on the cross that He showed us that ought to be on our agenda. In 3 years of ministry, He taught us how to live. And now in 6 hours, He is teaching us here how to die. And we come to the fifth thing here that He says on the cross, which is very brief, but it's also tremendously revealing. I want you to take, if you will, this morning and turn to the Gospel according to John, chapter number 19. John chapter 19. Here we see Jesus is nearly dead. That much was clear to everybody. It might be minutes, it might be an hour. But even a Roman soldier, much less a doctor, could easily see the end was near for Jesus. And almost as a last gasp, a sound comes out, which is more like a moan that you could barely hear. It is the shortest of all the statements that Jesus made from the cross. In John chapter 19 and verse number 28, I want you to notice what Jesus says. The Bible says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Two words in English, only one word of four letters in Greek. The only statement that Jesus makes is referred to His physical pain. And up to this point, Jesus has been focusing, as we've already been learning, on the needs of others. And his foes needed forgiveness. A felon needed eternal life. His family needed to be taken care of. That's why we shared about his mother being taken care of a few Sundays ago. Now he deals with his own personal pain, a physical pain. In those two words, he tells us one of the things that we should make sure that is on our agenda before we die, or as we die, is enduring pain and suffering and grief and sorrow, hurt, that we ought to do it gracefully. And pain, I want you to know right now, my friend, let's all agree, is a part of life. Amen?
Amen.
And many people hurt while they're living. Many people hurt while they're dying. And Jesus tells us how to endure pain gracefully and well. Three things I want to drive home today under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Number one, openly acknowledge your pain. That's the first thing. Notice the first word in this verse. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished. It's not really appreciated or even understood how much pain and suffering that Jesus was experiencing on the cross. He had not only been undergoing the most torturous death ever invented for 6 hours, but prior to that, my friends, he had begun through 12 hours of pure torture. He was beaten, he was slapped, he was showed scourged and a cat of nine tails until his rib cage showed and his back was just strips of skin that were hanging there from his neck. He was crowned with thorns, burrowed into his scalp. His beard, the Bible says, was ripped out, and then nails were pounded into his hands and into his feet. Now, no wonder he is thirsty. Exposed to the heat, stark naked, tremendous loss of blood, total exhaustion, extreme dehydration. This is one of the many aspects, and I want to say it that way, one of the many, many aspects of the crucifixion that those of us who live in a first world country like the United States of America cannot even imagine, since few of us have never experienced at all in our lifetime this kind of thirst. You didn't die by losing blood in a crucifixion. You died by a combination of dehydration and asphyxiation. Put yourself in his body. Think about this for just a moment, my friends. Your lips, they're cracked, they're bleeding. Your eyes are glazed over. Your tongue is swollen to three times the size in your mouth. Saliva sticks to your throat like glue does. We can survive much longer without food than we can without water. Water combined with the loss of bodily fluids, what happens is, friend, it gives you a tremendous fever. Your eyeballs are burning out into your sockets. Your head is exploding with excruciating pain. Your vocal cords are inflamed. They feel like they're on fire. When you become real thirsty, you know, sometimes people say, well, I'm thirsty. They're not thirsty like what we're talking about here. Friend, I'm telling you, scientists tell us the most agonizing pain that the human body can ever experience whatsoever is thirst. Every single cell in your body cries out for a drop of water when you're truly thirsty like Jesus was. The pain only gets worse and worse as time goes by. And here's what he says. Jesus says, I thirst. I thirst. Now, that's amazing. Why doesn't he do something about it? Right? I mean, after all, he's God, right? If he could turn water into wine, then why couldn't he take and turn that dirt that was there at Calvary into water? If he could take 5 loaves and 2 fish and feed 5,000 people, as the Bible says, couldn't he make it rain a river into his mouth while he's hanging there on that cross? 12,000 angels, by the way, guess what? They were ready to battle for him, the Bible says. Could he not even ask one of them to bring him something to drink? And the answer is yes, but why didn't he? That's the question. Why did Jesus do none of that? Why did he go through all this physical suffering that the Bible talks about? As a matter of fact, why did he suffer a physical hurt? An emotional heartache, even a spiritual helplessness. Why did he go through being crucified by his foes, deserted by his friends and family, and forsaken by his heavenly Father? Because Jesus, my friend, I want you to know today, he wanted us to know that what we feel, he has felt. That's what Jesus wanted us to know. What we have experienced, guess what? He has experienced. And when we hurt, can I tell you something? He hurts. Amen? He knew you could be deserted by your friends. He knew that you could be disappointed by your family. And I want you to know, he knew that you would face physical pain on this planet. Not only that, but emotional pain and also spiritual pain. I don't mind to tell our church tonight, I've gone through this past week a spiritual battle in my own life. I mean, there has been a warfare going on. The devil has thrown so many darts. And I've been preaching on Joseph or teaching on Joseph on Wednesday nights and teaching about these things or preaching on Sunday mornings. And God, I know, is trying to speak to me to practice what I preach. Amen. And we all at times, we have that emotional and spiritual pain. You're hurting physically because of disease or disability. Excuse me. You're hurting emotionally because of somebody has deserted you or disappointment. You're hurting because of discouragement and disillusionment. You say, nobody can relate to how I feel. Because they've never been where you are. Well, let me say this. Jesus has, and Jesus can. I told Sister Charlotte at her house Thursday, after Brother Glenn died, I told her, I said, as your pastor, I said, I don't know how you feel right now. I said, I've never lost a spouse. I've lost a lot of loved ones. I've lost parents. I've lost my dad. I lost my stepdad. They were my parents. I don't know what it feels like to lose a spouse. But Sister Charlotte does. And some of you have lost a spouse that are sitting here. And you can relate to the grieving that she's having right now in her life.
Amen.
And you know what? That's why you ought to help her. You can understand. But can I tell you? Jesus understands everything that we go through. He's been where you are. He's felt what you feel. He knows what you know. Because he bore all that on the cross. There are other things we can learn from Jesus on the cross at this point in his death. And listen, it's when you are hurting, friend, you can always openly acknowledge your pain to God because God knows exactly how you feel. I think it's okay for you to go and to cry out how you feel to God. Number two today, let's say this, surrender to God's sovereign plan. Now, there's still a great puzzle to this statement. The one who scooped out the oceans, who carved out the lakes, who lined out the rivers, who traced out the streams. Guess what he said? He said, I thirst. I am thirsty, Jesus says. He's the one who called himself, the Bible says, the water of life. But there is no water for him. Why did Jesus go through what he didn't have to go through and never should have had to say? Think about this. It not only tells us what he said, but why he said it. Look back in our verse, in our scripture, our text, in verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. You know, that is fascinating. Jesus just didn't say, I'm thirsty because he was thirsty. There's something more that drove both his thirst and his statement. Somehow Jesus realizes all that is happening here is according to God's sovereign plan. And more evangelists will talk about dividing the garments and casting lots. and all this other stuff whenever they talk about Jesus. But John goes through all the trouble to talk about how the Word of God is being fulfilled at this very moment. The crucifixion, listen, I'm telling you, regardless of what anybody thinks, it was not an accident. It was no mistake or a slip up. And neither is Jesus being thirsty nor letting us know He was thirsty. Everything was going according to God's sovereign plan. And by the way, it's a perfect sovereign plan. Amen? Amen, Brother Shane. Do we have an alarm clock? Hundreds of years before this, there was a prophecy given by David that this very thing would happen. And though he didn't know, he was looking ahead to this moment and this event. And here's what David wrote over in Psalm chapter 69 and verse number 21. David wrote, "They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst he gave me vinegar to drink." Well, Jesus had not yet been given vinegar to drink, and yet knowing God's word and knowing God's plan, he let it not be known here that he was thirsty. And so that's God's plan, and that it would be fulfilled, and that it was, and it was. Look back in our text at verse number 29. "Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth." When you're thirsty, what is it that you want to drink?
Water.
Water, that's right. Amen. Somebody, we got somebody listening. Praise the Lord. Amen. These kids listen. I know they do. Listen, I've got diagrams where little kids have sat over the years and drew out everything Pastor Shane was saying and drew pictures of me behind the pulpit, and they're listening. The adults, I think they're snoozing. That's right. What do you expect to drink? Water. What would you want to be offered to drink if you were thirsty? Water. Yet Jesus, guess what? He was offered bitter vinegar. Why? Because this was a part of God's sovereign plan.
Amen.
I mean, even David foretold this. Don't miss this. God has a sovereign plan for you, both in how you live and in how you die. God has that sovereign plan. Here's the big question. Jesus endured pain. He endured suffering. He endured physical pain. He endured emotional pain and spiritual pain because of the complete surrender and acceptance of God's sovereign plan for His life. Now the question is, are you willing to endure gracefully, whether it be physical hurt, emotional heartache, or spiritual helplessness in God's sovereign plan for your life? That's the question. What is more important to you? Your personal comfort or your total commitment to God's sovereign plan for your life? Which is more important? If you're going to live well and die well, you should not only openly acknowledge your pain and where you're hurting, but you ought to also surrender to God's sovereign plan for you. And the last thing is that we need to seek and acknowledge God's purpose. Now, it is a tremendous irony that Jesus waits until the last moments of His life here to call attention to His pain and suffering. When they shove the crown on His head, excuse me, y'all have to, I apologize, this ragweed's really getting me. When they shoved that crown up on His head, He didn't say, "My head hurts." When they tuck and ripped His beard out from His face, He didn't say, "My face hurts." When they scourged Him, He didn't say, "My back hurts." But when every cell was crying out for a drop of water, He said, "I'm thirsty." Why did He wait until then? Because He knew that this was God's purpose for His life. Let me make practical application to what I'm saying here. God never wastes anything, and we shouldn't either. Amen? Amen. Neither should we. We should never waste the pain and the suffering and the hurt and the heartache that we experience in life, because I'll tell you right now, God can redeem suffering. God can take your physical hurt, your emotional heartache, and your spiritual helplessness that you deal with, and He can use it for His glory and even to help other people come to Himself. Somebody in that hardened crowd that had been mocking Him, they'd been there jeering Him and making fun of Him. Here's this one last moan, and the heart that was as hard as granite turned as soft as they ran mush, and they ran and they got Him something to drink. Now, that was very unusual, and I'll tell you why. You could be imprisoned for trying to help somebody that was being crucified in any way. That was the law. Yet nobody lifted a hand to stop this one act of kindness to Jesus. Because you know why? God had a purpose. If you'll take even your pain, your suffering, your heartache, and your hurt, and you'll turn it over to God, and you'll ask God to strengthen you in it and glorify Himself through it, He will use it to do both. There is far more to this one four-lettered word in the Greek than you realize, because everybody on this planet is thirsty. Everybody. As babies, guess what? We're born thirsty. As people everywhere, we're saying, guess what? I'm thirsty. And that is why they're trying to slake their thirst with money, drugs, sex, power, pleasure, cars, houses, stocks, bonds, all this materialistic things. Do you know what Jesus said about the water the world has to offer? Here's what He said. He said in John 4:13, He said, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." Listen, if you take the world's water that it has to offer, you're going to stay thirsty, my friend. And Jesus said that. I didn't say it, but Jesus died thirsty so that we would never have to live or die thirsty. Amen. Think about this. Why did Jesus live on this earth 33 and a half years? Have you do the math. Why didn't He just come to earth and live just long enough to die for our sins and then go and leave? Why was that? Why not just live a sinless year or a sinless week? I mean, think about it. Why not just live like that? Go through the sunburns, the sore throats, and the hunger, and the heartache, and the thirst, even the temptation, the ridicule, and the rejection. I'll tell you why. Because He wants you to understand that whatever is happening to you first happened to Him. That's why. He not only suffered before you, but He suffered for you. Amen. Realize that. You can always know your suffering has a purpose and your pain has a plan, yet Jesus came back from the dead, and you can know whatever you're going through that you will get through it, no matter what it is. I'm saying this to you today, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what my wife's going through, and she's been going through a lot, listen, you can get through it, you can get beyond it, and someday you will get over it. Mexico City. Never have been there. Don't plan to go there. It's one of the largest cities in the world. 20 million people. It is sinking. I mean, literally sinking. Every year, buildings and streets are sinking deeper into the earth. Some neighborhoods are sinking a foot a year. In fact, this sinking has averaged 22 feet over the last 60 years. Do you know why? Because the people who live there are thirsty. I mean, 70% of the water the people rely on has to be extracted from aquifers that are below that city in the ground. And to quench the thirst of billions of gallons of water, they have to be pumped from underground every year and as they drain into the city sinks. I mean, as they're getting this water out of the ground, that city's just sinking and sinking and sinking. Most of the water there has organic and even chemical contamination, which can bring death-giving disease. The whole world is one giant Mexico City. I'm talking about the world that we live in. You say, how's that, Pastor Shane? I'll tell you how it is. The more the water, world's water that you and I drink, the deeper you sink into despair, the deeper you sink into discouragement and disillusionment, and the deeper you sink, the thirstier you will get. And the thirstier that you get, the more you drink, and the more you drink, the more you sink. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus said in John chapter 4 and verse 14. In verse 13, he tells you what happens if you drink the world's water. In verse 14, notice what he says. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Because Jesus said, I thirst. Anyone can come and drink of the life-giving water that He gives. And here's the thing. You will never thirst again. You'll never thirst again. Listen, every one of us, myself included, my family included, this church included, we are going to endure pain and suffering. We are all going to die one of these days, and many of us are going to die with pain and suffering, but because Jesus Christ, listen, we can put on our agenda, and I want you to know right now, because of Him, you and I can endure gracefully. If you're able to stand to your feet this morning, let's stand.
We thank you for joining us today. Visit us online at isvision.org. Text the word SAVE to the number 80123 and hit send to learn how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. May God bless you.